Welcome to Spaghetti Launchers, the world building podcast where we throw spaghetti at the wall and it is up to you what sticks. I'm Kyle.
I'm Ethan. Today's episode, we're discussing the sources of magic, but it's pretty easy because Kyle's the source of my magic.
Oh, baby. Making me blush. Oh, yeah, sources of magic. It's a slightly more esoteric concept to get into here because this is a good jumping off point.
Yeah.
I think we both attacked this from different angles because magic systems are varied in their fleshed outedness.
Yeah. There's been a lot of what we think of as magic systems have roots in video games and anime.
Yeah.
Where they're like, think about Pokemon elemental system, where they're like, ice is strong against fire, but weak against bug for some reason.
Yeah.
Like it gets into the rules and mechanics, which is cool and fun. But I think that's also one of those world building black holes where you can say, oh, well, I have to figure out how many different elements there are. And if you put fire and water, you get smoke and all of the it can be really fun, but I think it can also get in the way of storytelling. You know, there's the spectrum of soft magic system versus hard magic system. And
yeah, where you fall on that is up to you. And well, I mean, I think the biggest example in the modern era of magic systems is Brando Sando. He's really good at it. It's one of the things he really focuses on. And I think sometimes it does detract from the stories he's telling because mm-hmm. it's such a core part of it. And it's like, well, it's like you're reading a fight scene all about the magic system. Like it's a combat in a video game. And I'm like, well, what about the cutscene? I'm reading a book so I can read cutscenes.
Right.
The action sequence.
That's a great way of putting it.
And I think the Mistborn magic system he created, which is fantastic, is like, I want to play a video game that uses that system. That's how good the system is. And that's like the source of that magic is metals and burning metals. And like the origin of the magic is basically metallurgy in a way. Like mm-hmm. the way he
form of science.
The way he does it in Stormlight Archives, also a great magic system. The source of magic is these storms and the lightning and the whatever, like the electrical charge.
The interaction between those things.
Yeah. Like these storms create this energy that is then used for magic. So those are sources of magic that are clearly pointed to. Like you can figure out what the source of magic is and then everything past that becomes a big part. But I think having that be like storms are really important in this world because not just because they're really deadly, but because they are also how we power a lot of this magic in the world. So many other worlds, it's the weave in D&D, which is kind of a vague, nice hand wavy. Like I know they get into it, but it's, you know, it isn't a hard thing. It's a bit softer. You've got just like the deep magic that is
that's intentionally undescribable. That's kind of my favorite. You know, I love magic. It's hard to get into thinking about sources of magic, like where the magic in your world might come from without getting into the cosmology of it, right? Like you just then mentioned the weave. I didn't know this until I was doing prep for it. The weave was created from a cosmic interaction or a fight between Char and Saluna. So immediately that tells us about the world. Well, there are gods. There are gods that can be sisters. There are multiple gods, right? They can interact, and that interaction is magic, is where magic comes from. That you sometimes have to make those decisions because you can then start categorizing, well, magic comes from or can be defined as it is power taken from a powerful being, a powerful place, or a powerful thing. Those are common sources of magic. But to be honest, like my favorite is always one where there is no norn, where there is no norn. Wow. Two in a fucking row, man. There is no norn. Known. Fuck you. There is no norn. We don't know where it comes from, Kyle. Stop asking me. We don't know where it comes from. God, magic is just the natural order of the universe. It's no different than physics in our world. It's something that is reserved that most people, it's just there. Most people go about their lives not fully, you know, they might know a little bit about it, but beyond that, it doesn't really matter. You know, the pursuit of it can be seen as a risky good, but if you go too far, it comes with trade-offs. I also think it's cool from a storytelling perspective because of that unknown. You know, you can say, oh, well, God or the gods live in the unknown space. They occupy the unknown. Oh, magic users are blessed. They are children of the gods of that unknown space. No, magic users are demons and they shouldn't be doing this and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I think that's really fun. But it always brings me back to when you start having to rigorously define it, where I often will get stuck is that the more I think about it, I, in D&D terms, struggle to grasp the idea of anyone that is not a warlock or a cleric being anything but a sorcerer, basically meaning you have to be born special to use the force or and you're a wizard, Harry, right? You have to be.
I'm a what?
There is something special about you, which I know a lot of people like because they get into, not you, motherfucker. There is something, people don't like that because it brings in conversations about genetics and superior peoples and things like that. But it is hard. But also
the X-Men.
Yeah, the X-Men, basically, right? Yeah. But there is part of me that, you know, famously magic can be seen as you have to make the right hand gestures with the right word and say the right words at the right time and the right whatever, holding the right materials. And as you famously know, I sometimes am better at multitasking than others. So if you were to tell me that in order to use magic, I had to have the physical and mental dexterity to basically do the equivalent of playing Rachmaninoff while reciting the Declaration of Independence backward and holding a stick at the same time just to shoot a fireball, I might be more willing to say, you know what? Yeah, that actually does require some special skill that not everyone can access immediately.
Good point. And that's a challenging number of things to do. Well, while you were talking, that I was also thinking about another great example of where a source of magic that I think plays so well into the world is Joe Abercrombie's First Law trilogy, where the magic is, you know, it is like very rare. It's like a low magic world, but the people who can do magic, it is like they explain it. And basically it's that you have to tap into basically you have to go to the other side. Hmm. You have to go into like the equivalent of hell to tap into the magic, to use it. So the cost of using it is high. And every time you do it, you risk breaking your own mind. And
that's cool.
And so you're incredibly physically drained every time you do it because you're pushed to the brink and then you can just actually break because you've basically gone through a lot of agony to tap into this. And there's certain amounts of it that you can kind of get away with and be fine if you're really well trained. But then there's like to go further. It's like you have to go deeper and deeper into like basically hell to tap into this and risk more exposure and thus, you know, whatever. So the idea that you're tapping into this other side of reality, this like this entropy side of reality, that's your source of magic. Is like the worst parts of the world.
That's dope. Yeah, I did not know that. I love the risk and reward in that too. I think that's something that needs to be explored.
And the reward's minimal.
More.
The reward's basically like press in a case of emergency. You might avert emergency one, but emergency two is coming for you. So
I love that.
Yeah.
I think that's, all right, this has I been think
a,
that's awesome.
This has been a long prelude. So let's get into the tease of our ideas. Ethan, what is your idea? What are your noodles? Describe them to me.
Physics.
Okay. All right.
What have you got?
Is that worth the trade?
Speaking of risk and reward systems.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you go first?
Okay, sure. Mine isn't particularly long, so the
dope.
The folks ask you, what's the most powerful thing in the world? What would you say?
Friendship. Close. Oh, sorry, chronomancy. Fucked up.
But close. Love. Isn't that the trope? But here's what
I think it's both.
Yeah. Anyway, so here's how I want to play into it. Emotion is the source of magic, but not in the way that you think. To use magic, this is a low magic world, because to use magic means you need to basically burn your emotions away to channel it. So if you want to use magic, you need to use a powerful emotion like love. But if you're going to use it, you will lose that love.
Oh, that's cool.
So you will fall out of love for your wife if you use this magic in this way. You will lose love for your children. you might it might be able to be where others lose love for you and you no longer feel love from others. But basically, you have to burn through an emotion to get this to happen. And it's the better emotions, the more positive emotions, are the ones that are more potent. So like burning through anger is weak. It's not as good of magic. But if you can burn through a positive emotion, you can get a whole lot more out of it.
Why?
Emotions that are super positive, like love, are top shelf liquor. Anger is bottom of the barrel, like Bud Light. It's so easy to generate. It's cheap. It's easy. Everyone can tap into it. But getting like, you know, the finest brandy in the world is harder. And every sip of that should taste a lot better than the bullshit that you get out of Bud Light. You can probably do more magic with anger, but you can't like tap into the highest level type of magic. You can do,
I think that's cool.
I think like you can do like, oh, I can make my I can make like a little firebolt using anger, but I can't do a, you know, power word kill.
Yeah.
I can't do a D&D terms. I can cast a first level spell with anger, but I can cast a ninth level spell with love. I can cast a fifth level spell with happiness. I can cast a third level spell with profound sadness. You know, it's whatever the emotion is. And because some of it might be also that like the different types of magic. So say something, it is something like sadness that helps. It can help you do magic that isn't combative. It is more protective. And so you can kind of burn through it to help protect yourself from future sadness, versus anger is going to be more combative, and love is more flexible and like world bending, you know, and you can play into what each emotion means in that world and how it's a bit, like what its magic can represent. Because in some cases it is an emotion that people have in abundance enough, and we don't want them to have it for too long. We want them to have the source to burn through it. And then there's some that you're like, well, you should pull onto this for as long as you can. This is precious. If you do burn it, it needs to be really worth it.
I think that's great. So I have a deepening, and then I have two thoughts about variations. So the deepening of that is, would be really cool to see early mages in a magic school type setting just being really angry all the time then. Because they have to learn how to, they have to be angry to channel magic.
Yeah.
And so they are very just combative, and you could tell a cool story about coming of age if that so happens to be around puberty and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Couple variations, though. There are two magic systems, so to speak, that this reminds me of. One is from an anime that I loved in middle school called Ranma One Half, where in order to use ki, you know, the magical anime, Energy Blast, Dragon Ball Z, yada, yada, you had to channel it through an emotion. So that emotion being confidence or sadness or fear or anger.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. What I liked about it was that it meant that you actually, unlike you burning through it, you had to have some self-awareness to know what emotion do you feel most powerfully, most often.
Yeah.
And so to say, oh, I know I am just fucking angry all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. But that's how I am going to, it is through that emotion that I'm going to find strength in myself and motivate, because that's often true. That does reflect, you know, people are motivated by different things. And to your point, like anger, without getting too into therapy talk, anger can be profound and deep and underlying.
Yeah.
It doesn't always burn.
Yeah.
Fast, despite what we like to say. So I thought that was a cool tangential one.
No, and what I think a point off of that is that maybe it's, you know, to say it is something like confidence, and you are burning through confidence to do magic for a period of time, and knowing that you're gonna come out of this with zero self-confidence
and deep insecurity.
But say, you know, intellectually, I'm really confident, I'm really good at gaining confidence. Say it's like you're incredibly attractive, everybody's like, you know, you're charismatic, you're funny, everyone loves you, you get that confidence back quickly, and you know that, so you frequently burn through your confidence to do magic because you know you'll get it back. Say you have two people, two people who are frequently using magic, and they're a partner. They're partners, and they're and so they like are able to use love mm-hmm. and build back the other person's love to get them back to where they need to go. To say, you burn a tiny bit, and then I'll bring you back up by showing you extra love to kind of get you back in love with me, and we'll help generate this. And but only one of us can do it at a time, because if we risk breaking the cycle and never being able to tap into this. But this makes us like the most powerful mages in this world.
Sure.
It's a weird therapy meets magic thing where like learning to regulate.
Say it, you said it.
Yeah. It's learning to regulate your emotions, but it's knowing where you can actually really tap into it. And in the cases where like everyone can use this. So if you're just like, if you are Joe Schmo and your wife is dying, you can use all of your love to try to save her. But then you are no longer in love with her and your marriage is done, but you saved her and you both get to live.
Until you bring it, maybe it can be rekindled.
It can't
to your be. Point. And that also could be fun of thinking through, all right, well, someone who's using anger. There's a character in Marvel Comics that I like named Penance, whose powers can only be activated through pain. So his costume actually has spikes on the inside. Uh-huh. To keep himself in constant pain so they can use his powers. Like, so, all right, if I'm someone that can only use magic when I'm angry,
yeah,
like the Waterboy movie, someone's going to have to keep me really pissed off all the time. And what is my retinue? So every powerful mage has a retinue of people that are Debbie Downers and keep them sad, or are...
They're hype men. So
They're cheerleaders, right?
Yeah.
So every mage has a retinue with them.
Or they're just like concubines to like keep their lusts, you know, like,
yeah.
Be like whatever the emotion is, you know, they can tap into different elements basically through them mm-hmm. and then burn them down. And I'd say it would be helpful if there's like risks where if any emotion gets burned to zero, you might just like die, you know, the whole, like you can die of a broken heart thing of like, you can do in the real mm-hmm. world. It's like,
can have a heart attack if you get too angry.
Yeah, like any of these emotions.
Get an STD if you're too lustful.
True.
Am I wrong?
So if any of these gets out of whack too much, you just die. So yeah, I think where it's true. Like, because this is a world where it's like, it's just the everyman can use this. It's not designed as a magic system only for mages. It's that some people have just decided they are, their attempt at being mages is basically becoming like expert emotional regulators. And that is risky because this isn't a system that like is supposed to be gamed like that. So you can accidentally fuck yourself up and ruin your life in the process.
Much like if you give yourself over to any particular emotion.
Yeah. And much like if you do just do actual magic and just you can lose your mind because you were trying to tap into the great old ones or whatever.
Well, the other tangential magic system this reminded me of was in DC Comics, the Green Lantern got expanded. So there are now 7 or 8 different types of colors of lantern. Green Lantern uses willpower. Blue Lantern uses hope. Red Lantern uses anger. All this shit.
Heart. Right?
Basically, yeah.
Captain
but what I
Planet,
what I like about that, we're gonna get fucking
hero.
Sued.
Gonna Kyle, take I'm gonna pollution punch you in the down fucking to face.
You are
zero.
Making me angry, and I'm gonna fireball you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, fine. This is great.
Go ahead.
This is the worst timeline. I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
The thing that I like about it was that on this emotional spectrum, the colors at the farthest end of the spectrum, red and purple, are the ones you have to be the most careful of. They're anger and love, because they're the ones that can make you act most irrational.
Yeah, you can lose yourself in them.
Exactly. And yeah. So, but willpower, the green one, is at the center because that's very neutral. It's not going to, it's just you focusing on what you want. And I thought that was a cool idea. So work that into it.
Yeah, cool. All right, Ethan. Let's move on to your idea. You said physics?
Yeah, physics. I'm not doing that one anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, we're...
New idea.
We'll do it live. No, I was inspired. I had an idea for another source of magic, but it was one that I had actually considered as a joke idea, you know, like I've done with the list sometimes. But hearing yours made me think it might actually work.
Okay.
I actually made this joke earlier when you asked what's the strongest sort of...
Friendship?
Yeah, friendship. The joke of the magic is that it comes from friendship. Other people's faith in you and how much they enjoy being around you is what fuels
magic.
Magic.
Okay.
And so it creates an interesting world where you actually have to go around. It incentivizes you to be nice to people and to get them to be on your side, and could very well potentially create some power imbalances there. But yeah, the idea is basically it's sort of that common trope where, oh, the only thing that makes gods powerful is whether or not people believe in them.
Yeah.
This just makes it sort of like a popularity contest.
So is it specifically people considering you a friend? So like thinking like people who are manipulative narcissists, are they able to get people to believe in them in an outward way, but then because it's not a genuine friendship, because it's manipulative, it doesn't count?
So I've been watching a lot of Love Island recently. Oh, yeah. We're about to get real, motherfucker.
That was unexpected.
Hard pivot.
Yeah.
The point is to form a real, genuine connection there, but there are occasionally people on there that will try to fake a connection or manipulate someone into a connection because there is a monetary prize at the end.
Yeah.
Last season was unique because there were several really, really strong couples that came out of it, and people are still in those relationships.
Yeah.
This one, we're now seeing a lot more of the Big Brother survival style manipulation, and it's throwing the whole season off. But I do think that for the purpose of this magic system, that if you can really convince someone that you are their friend, it doesn't matter what you feel. It matters what they feel. So if you can manipulate somebody into being your friend and thinking that they are friends with you.
Yeah,
That's all you need. It does not matter.
So it's like you actually have to be capable of doing it. So it's not like, so if you're just a dictator and people are afraid, so they just claim that you're your friends, but you don't actually believe it, it doesn't matter. But if you are able in a Love Island style, able to be like, well, I'll play on your emotions and actually make you believe I'm your friend and I'm lying.
Right.
I think that is not a thing you can do on a mass scale anyway.
No, I think that's much harder.
It's much harder to do that on a mass scale. It's much easier to just be gregarious and just make friends.
Right.
And have genuine friendships.
But it is possible to do it.
Yeah.
And so if you could do it with enough people, you know, you hear these stories all the time about people that fake cancer diagnoses and spur genuine emotional reactions in people.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could theoretically do that. I mean, how many people form parasocial relationships with celebrity? You know, I mean, there is certainly a way to do it at mass scale.
Yeah.
It's not as easy, but I'd also like that it does mean that it would be harder to become a dictator because this idea of fear and trade-offs, it's not going to give you power in the same way. And I think it would be important to say that a real, genuine mutual friendship is stronger than a one-sided manipulative one. But I think you still can get power from the one-sided manipulated friendship.
Yeah, but it's more potent. It'd be better to have 10 symbiotic, strong relationships than having 100 or 50 weak, one-sided relationships.
Correct.
Yeah. I think it is cool. And say you just plug it in as it's an amplifier, not the only source of magic. So
sure. That's interesting.
So it's,
hadn't thought of that.
Say you in a D&D setting, it's like whatever, if you're a wizard, you can cast these spells, but the more friendships you have backing you up, you add some dice.
Okay. Jester would be.
She'd be crushing it.
Yeah.
But her source of magic is divine. Right. Not well. But
it wouldn't matter is the point that you're making.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm saying it would matter. Because it's basically just being like, well, this is a second source of magic. Like the source of magic, this is still just arcane magic. And then here's an additional, there's a multiplier effect through friendship. But you could also do it where it's like, so say someone has no friends.
Yeah.
They're a complete hermit or they're just a complete asshole. They can't cast any magic. They have no way to tap into magic. Is that how it works in this scenario?
In the way that I'd envisioned it, yeah.
Yeah. But so then, if you are, say you have a lot of friends, but you have no interest in magic, you don't learn any magic. Or is it everyone's capable of doing the magic, everyone knows what to do, and you can just kind of feel it, and you can just channel it as it makes sense to you?
I had envisioned it as everyone can do it because I like the idea of it being this is sort of a fucked up mechanism for a magic school where everyone's just out trying to be win popularity contests.
Well, it's not as a because I think that's the thing is like it's popularity, but that's the fast, easy route.
That's my point. They're teenagers. They're
right. But it's like it's the theater kids.
Yeah.
Who are like
or the nerdy kids.
Yeah. Who are like we are a tight knit group of people who are all actually genuinely friends. Maybe not the theater kids. There's a little too much drama there. But the like pun unintended. but there's like it's whatever like the group is that's like the most like genuine friendships. That's the one that wins.
Right.
And they're like tight bonds.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's cool. I don't know. Yeah. I don't even know what it's else to do on it.
No, there isn't much. I like your idea of it being an amplifier. I think that would be a really cool layer to add to it. It wasn't the way that I had envisioned it, but I like it.
Yeah.
It does make it more interesting too, particularly if you want to use it as a game mechanic. It makes it much more interesting so that you're not limited.
Yeah. I think it's hard to do as a game mechanic.
Yeah.
I think it is hard to deploy
as a game mechanic
or in a story. I think it's fun as like a world building. I think it feels like it's popcorn world building.
Yeah.
I feel like it is hard. It'd be harder to actually deploy because then you'd be too many relationships to maintain and to keep track of within a story. Like you could do it in Harry Potter. Like where it's like, here's a
cast of 20 people.
And like for a long time, they're in a school. This is a long running story, but for so many other stories, it'd be hard to deploy it anyway. But I think in Harry Potter it would work well as like, here's an amplifier we introduce in book 3.
Sure.
That like turns out the more friends you have, the more powerful you are as a wizard. And I think that would be really cool. It's something she may have added. I don't know.
Sure.
Like, you know, maybe in the new series.
Which I won't be watching.
It seems unnecessary for them to do it anyway.
Yeah.
The movies are not that old.
Nope.
They're all, they still look great.
Yep.
Anyway, moving on to some frozen lasagna.
Yeah.
All right. Frozen lasagna, ding.
Sort of based on yours or a little bit reminiscent of yours. The source of magic is your own life force.
Yeah.
You can do magic. You can do real magic, but you are using your days of your life.
Yeah. You could become a nuke, but you'll die.
Yeah.
You know, well, that's just a suicide bomber.
Sure. But you could do that.
Yeah.
It would be a great way to do the, I'll hold them off trope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas
you'll become a fireball and you'll blow up, but you'll kill.
That's the end of it. Yeah.
Or you can be like, I will fly around the entire world or I'll become invincible for a week.
Yeah.
But I will be dead by the end of it. Yeah.
So it's different than the strain idea, which is, I worked out too hard and my heart collapsed. It's no, there is a finite amount of time that we have.
Yeah.
And I'm just burning through it at a faster rate than others.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it.
What about you?
Mine is also based on the concept, just the straight concept of life, which is the way that we also do, is a caloric magic system.
Yeah.
That you literally need the calories to actually do it. And I think that's often overlooked. Like wizards just don't even eat. And they're just like, it's a toll on their body. Now, what if the toll is literally just, you just got in a huge workout. Like you need, it's using the same life that goes into those calories that's an animal product, that is a plant product. There's the sun.
You need a balance of macros. Like,
the life force is transferring through you, so you need to have enough calories to do it. So like if you're trying to cast a fifth level spell and you really can't do it, it's like trying to like bench press when you didn't eat anything that day.
Yeah, you can still maybe do it, but it's way harder and you won't be able to get as much.
Yeah, if you had a big meal, you're good. After you do a bunch of magic, you do need to eat or you're going to be really wiped out and you're not going to be able to do as much magic the next day because you're not going to recover properly. And like treating it basically just like a workout. But like having calories actually matter in that world, which means that wizards are actually the biggest drain on the food supply.
Rations and
yeah. So it's the stereotype of like,
I love that. It's
the big berserker fighter who needs all the food. And it's like, no, it's actually the wizard needs a lot of food.
And they're still scrawny.
Yeah. They're still scrawny, but they need a lot of food.
No. And that's a great explanation for why they have a lower hit dice. Same with sword. Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. And why clerics, druids, and other, cause they're all getting their magic from external sources.
Yeah.
That's actually really cool.
And I like that a lot. And the second a wizard like retires, then they just start kind of gaining weight. Because they
kind of like a soldier. Like, I mean, that's one thing, you know, there are a lot of soldiers that retire and they're not doing PT every day.
Yeah, they gain a bunch of weight.
You gain a bunch of weight.
Yeah.
I like that, and it just made me laugh because in the most recent Flash movie, I was watching a YouTube video about it, and they said that they introduced this whole mechanic where the Flash actually has a calorie tracker on his arm.
Oh, that's cool.
That he needs to keep up to so that he can keep burnt because his metabolism moves super fast. And I'm like, oh, did we do anything with that throughout the story? Nope, it was a one-time gag.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's a fucking bummer. Yeah. That would have been an interesting hook, just like this. And I will say, I think, honestly, that's probably what stuck for me. The caloric magic system. I think that's, or the caloric source of magic. I think that's really cool.
I also really like it. I was debating which one was my full idea, but the caloric one was a little simpler. So I was like, that's more of a frozen lasagna because I think it's kind of just one and done.
Yeah, I think that's really cool.
Yeah, cool.
That's what stuck for me. What stuck for you?
I find it kind of funny. I find it kind of sad. That we really talked a lot about emotions, and like, I mean, I kicked it off, and then made you change your idea because you know I think you wanted to keep that same theme. But I think it's funny leaning into like trying to come up with what is an alternate magic system and going to just like we were going superhuman.
Yeah,
where it was like let's dig deeper into humanity's core things. And so, you know, core emotions, it's calories, it's your literal longevity of life.
Yeah.
It's, you know, those, you know, it is the bonds element. Like, I think that's kind of telling that's where there's, I think, still ground in sources of magic left. Because it was going internal as opposed to external. Like, I mean, yours is external, but not. You know, it's human connection.
It's internal to part of the human condition.
Yeah,
and the human condition is the source. Is what we were playing on
as a source of magic. And where often it's like, well, there's got to be gods. There's got to be something else. It's like we're hand waving so much in these worlds anyway.
Right.
Why aren't we hand waving that? Like, why does your belief in me give me power? Who cares? We're hand waving it.
Doesn't matter.
That's just the way it is. And I think there's something kind of special about that fact that we both went that way.
Yeah.
And within the mind, I think I like all of it relatively equally. I think the caloric one is probably my favorite just for its simplicity and recency bias. I think it does really well. But I think just the whole through line, it all felt samey in a good way.
Look to the human condition. Look inside. What makes you
look inside yourself?
But in all seriousness, like what makes you feel energized? Right?
Gives you wings.
Sure,
sponsorship.
But look, you started off by talking about Brando Sando.
Yeah.
Red Bull is allomancy. It's an allegory, right? Where you drink this certain thing, you ingest.
He doesn't drink caffeine, so
that's great. But you ingest these things and they give you power. It's a similar allegory for drugs, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it's an interesting point is that like often sources of magic. So magic is a drug.
Yeah.
In almost every world, that's like a thing that's played into it. And
Buffy season 6 did a great job exploring that.
Well, and that's why I liked my idea initially. It's not a thing you can use a lot because you have to burn through emotions that you have to then build back up.
Yeah.
And I think you pointed out aptly that like some emotions you could just keep it's pretty easy to renew anger.
Yeah.
But then it's hard. And I think that maybe stuck to me a lot was like really kind of thinking about like which emotions are harder to build up. And I love the idea of the couple that is.
Yeah. The couple's fun.
The couple that is able to kind of replenish their love. So they can keep using that to cast 9th level spells, you know, or the equivalent to be like, we've had the most powerful magic because of our ability to really just keep staying in love.
Yeah.
And because then it just, there's something interesting in there about how easy it is for us to get into different emotions or whatever. So,
agree.
Anyway, but all in all, I like a lot of it.
Yeah.
So, that's what stuck for us.
Let us know what stuck for you.
Emails in the show notes.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.